Well, it's a rainy Saturday morning. We're at St. Peter's in Glen Thompson, where we find Gareth Collerton, painter extraordinaire. Gareth, good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
This is a beautiful little church in Glen Thompson. You've been here for, well, just explain for us what you've been doing here for the past, well, I don't know, 2-3 years now.
Yeah, about 3 years ago, a lady by the name of Elizabeth Cumming approached me and asked if I would be interested in doing a sort of a Michelangelo-esque mural in their church. And this stemmed from some sort of religiously connotated artworks that I'd painted earlier. And it's always been a bit of an idea in the back of my head, or a bit of a miniature dream to paint a church. Mm-hmm. So as you say, 2.5 years now, I've been coming along on weekends mainly, or days off, and painting on the walls, which go up about 3 metres, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a couple of good things there compared to the Sistine Chapel. One, it's not quite as big, and two, you don't have to do the roof because it's a nice wooden roof.
And not quite the talent that Michelangelo had either.
I don't know about that. So what was the sort of idea then, I guess? What sort of brief were you given, and what did they want?
Well, like a lot of small regional communities, it's a very tight-knit bunch. You know, even your friends are almost your family. There's a population of less than 100 in Glen Thompson. Mm. And it's actually decreasing, and it has decreased even in the time that I've been here. So they wanted a way to bring attention to their congregation, I guess, the Anglican Church here, and perhaps bring community together, which has happened. You know, there's been some fabulous events just come out of doing this as fundraisers and sort of celebrations of doing it, and that's been, you know, really, really nice.
So were they pretty clear, though, about what they wanted on the walls, or was it pretty much up to you to decide how that would work?
No, they were pretty clear. So the stories of St. Peter, the church is named after St. Peter, so they've chosen 4 pivotal scenes from the Bible stories, and we've reproduced them using local people. So the faces you see in the crowds are real locals, some of whom have passed away a long, long time ago. They're more historical figures, and others are still present day living and working here in Glen Thompson, with the exception of Jesus and St. Peter themselves. You know, they're a bit, that's the lead roles of the play. You know, we can't go too much competition for that.
Right. And yet you've made them look like, the same as you've depicted the locals, I guess. So what were your decisions there, I guess? And was that your decision to make them look like people who might just be a part of the local community?
Yeah, well, I guess if you try and picture them in robes and Middle Eastern sort of, you know, dress and haircuts and things of 2,000 years ago, they'd stand out. So, yep, they're in their denim jeans and their flanny shirts and the Kubra hats, just so they fit right in. And the faces are sort of vaguely modelled on friends and things, but they don't actually look like anyone that I know of, although Jesus in the first one looks a little bit like Brad Pitt.
Who may have passed through Glen Thompson at some point, who knows.
Don't know how that happened, but it was just an accident.
So in using locals then, how did what sort of decisions did you have to make there? And once again, was there any sort of competition or questions about, you know, who would be used in what scene and depicted in what way and so on?
There was discussion, for sure. So again, it's a fundraiser. People donated to have someone, perhaps, you know, from their family, you know, one of their kids or a great grandparent who's no longer with us, as a memorial to those people, or as a sort of a immortalisation of the children. You know, this will hopefully be here for a long, long time to come. Mm. And they've contributed to to my wages, really.
Right.
Yeah. So it has a twofold thing.
So it was a fairly easy decision in the end as to who ended up on the wall.
Those with money. No, it wasn't like that at all. And some people, of course, were donated. You know, people donated beyond their own thing in order to nominate someone else to go on the wall. Mm. Some people actually had symbolic things. So throughout there are pelicans, eagles, pomegranates, cakes, cups, things that mean something to someone, but aren't necessarily as literal as someone's face.
So what have been the challenges in doing this, I guess? I mean, have you done many paintings on brick walls inside churches before? Probably not.
Oh, gosh, I don't know if I'm glad you ask or not. This has been the most challenging thing I've done. I have painted big things before. I've done a few murals, but I'm usually fairly pedantic about getting a surface prepared, and this is all handmade bricks. So Glen Thompson's famous for it's been a long tradition of making bricks here, and they're very, very rough. So occasionally I'd be painting along and I'd realise that someone's eye had sort of fallen into a hole, you know. So from one angle they look all right, but you turn around or you move over a little bit and you can't see a part of their face, you know. And in terms of the actual paint sticking in things, that's been a problem. Some of the walls crumble now. You know, they're 150 years old, I think, so bits and pieces fall away. It has been a bit of a nightmare in that regard.
What about the conservation point of view as well? Because, you know, this is obviously a very uncontrolled environment. It's quite cool in here today, and I presume it's going to be quite hot in the summertime.
Yeah, well, interestingly, they used to use chalk and plaster and egg tempera, you know, back in the olden days. Because this is a long-standing tradition, of course. Churches right throughout England used to have this, these murals, which were painted over when they became untrendy. But now we're pretty lucky. Acrylic paint is essentially, it's a plastic in a tube. It's a wet plastic. So it's very long-lasting. These old painters would have killed for it. They would have loved it. And with a varnish over the top of that, it should be here forever and it shouldn't fade. They're really good paints.
Now, along the way then, have the people involved been dropping in to have a look and check out how they've been depicted and how it's all coming together?
Yeah, they're lovely. They come in and they bring me a plate of scones or invite me over for lunch. And they've been so hospitable. The people here are a delight, you know, and full of great conversations and stories. And yeah, it's been, and of course, because they're all on the land and really good at that stuff, making their own, you know, foods, including, you know, yogurts and honeys and, you know, whatever. It's been a real treat.
And I guess it sort of bodes well for the future of this building as well. There must be no immediate plans to demolish it, obviously, or remove it, or change what it's here for.
No, that's right. I mean, as you paint in a thing like this, it of course just plays on your mind. You know, what is going to happen in a year, 5 years, 10, 20, 50, 100. You know, will it be standing? Will Glen Thompson revive as they, you know, obviously would like it to? I guess it's all very much dependent on the future of farming and how cities and towns grow in regional Australia.
Now, there are two other little parts to the work as well, which are not St Peter scenes. Just explain for us briefly what these are about.
Oh, good old Bishop Gary. Bishop Gary's the Ballarat Diocese bishop, and a fabulous man, larger than life. He's great. So he's been represented, and just the nature of he's depicted in a modern way, you know, in the modern garb of a bishop. So he didn't quite fit in with the rural scene. So we set him aside a little bit with the people who had the idea, Bruce and Elizabeth. And so they're depicted working on plans and plotting and scheming about how to get this to happen with a couple of their grandchildren. And of course, a great traditional symbol of the church, a little lamb in the foreground. And then we've got an actual picture of the church. So I forget how that one came about, but it was someone's idea to actually incorporate the exterior of the church into it. So we've got a wedding scene with the light flooding out from the church and a beautiful couple, newly hitched, walking off.
Well, that certainly does look fantastic, I've got to say. You have to have it finished by a certain date, and there is a reason behind that.
Yeah, there's an anniversary coming up, a big anniversary. I think from memory it's the 4th of July or thereabouts. And I do need to have it finished within a couple of weeks. So it's all down to little bits and pieces now. There's a few people missing feet and a couple of wonky noses, that kind of thing. Just got to fix them up.
A couple of chickens there that might need a few more feathers, perhaps.
Yeah, that's right.